All right, turn your Bible with me to John chapter 6. Since we started a study book of John last August, we came across three miracles of God. Number one, he changed regular tap water to the best wine the master of the feast ever tasted. Number two, he healed the son of the nobleman, even though he was 17 miles away from him, he was able to heal him. The son was in Capernaum, northern side of the Sea of Galilee. Thirdly, we just noticed that, and we learned that in chapter 5, Jesus healed a man who has been sick 38 long years in the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem. Three miracles happened. So far, so good. Nothing to the Lord. The people of Israel were impressed with this newfound rabbi from the region of Galilee. The following crowd is getting bigger and bigger each day. They wanted to see more miracles. Somehow they think that it was a neat thing. Yeah, it is a neat thing, but there is more to it. Everybody in Israel were talking about this young rabbi from Galilee, including the one who hate, that is Jewish religious group. The mere mention of his name, it gave him a gall in their stomach. Their lips were curling. And they would hate him so much that they are willing to kill him. Because in their mind, he was challenging their authority, and he was claiming to be the Son of God, which means they clearly understood that God himself. In their mind, it was blasphemy. They were fuming. Now, Jesus is back in his home territory, the region of Galilee. And the disciples of Jesus were about to face the impossible situation. And they didn't know how to handle this. But Jesus knew. Everything was already prearranged, if you will. And it was for their faith-building program. It was impossible to the disciples. However, the word impossible is not in the God's vocabulary. Now, with that impossible is not in the God's vocabulary, go to the Jeremiah chapter 32, please. Where is the Jeremiah? Old Testament or New Testament? Good. See how good you are? Chapter 32, verse 27, please. Behold, it says, behold, I am the Lord, God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Okay, go to the Luke 18, 27, which we just memorized. Luke 18, 27. But he, that is Jesus, said that the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. I'm going to read it one more time. But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. You know, I strongly believe that the Lord has a lesson for all of us. Because we all face, time to time, some sort of impossibility of our own kind. I also believe the Holy Spirit, the author of this book, the Bible, has a faith-building program for us, shaped and formed exactly catered to individual of us. All we have to do is just open our heart and receive this faith-building lesson. Follow the instruction. When he said, do this first, we do that first. And then do this second, you do that second. One step at a time. You follow him. Let me say this. It's not in your sermon online note. In Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a lantern to our path. Why? Why not beacon? Why not searchlight? You know, with a 6,000 lumen, whang, there's a whole thing, you can see the whole path. No. If I just talked with one of our congregation this morning. If we know the entire future, you know what we're going to do? Number one, either we don't know how to handle it. Number two, we try to alter it. We try to change it. Instead of following, depending on God, following God, we'll start to coming up with our own scheme. God wants us to trust Him. So He gave us just enough light to step this one step. And then He gave us another light to take another step. You with me? We need to depend on Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You in seeking Your wisdom, seeking Your guidance. Your word said nothing is impossible to You. So we are standing in the presence of God Almighty, God who knows all things. Give us a lesson, instruction, that we may learn from You. And You engrave them in our heart, then we may know it is You who guide us. Father, we also pray for the President Obama, that he may come to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, that he may do what is right in Your sight instead of what is right in his own mind. Father, we also pray for our troops and uniformed personnel like sheriff deputies, police officers, and federal agents, whoever they are, and the firefighters. We're asking You to protect them as they protect our lives and properties. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 6, verse 1, please. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed Him because they saw His signs, which He performed on those who are diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jew, was near. Since the Apostle Paul didn't record every single event in the book of John, in order to fulfill the theme of the book of John, remember the theme of the book of John? What is it? One word. What? Believe. Very good. You guys know that, right? We must consult the harmony of the gospel. What is the harmony of the gospel? Harmony of the gospel is four gospels conglomerated in one chronological order. So we can track and understand God, the events that happened in Jesus' life, especially earthly ministry. Between the healing of the paralytic in chapter 5 and feeding 5,000 in chapter 6, there are some times been passed in different places. And that's mentioned in Luke chapter 6 through 9 and Mark chapter 3 through 6. Also, Jesus, remember the Sermon on the Mount, the famous chapters in three chapters in Matthew 5, 6, 7, also was done in between this time. And He also explained about a kingdom parable in Matthew 13. The distance between the Jerusalem and the northern part of Galilee was about, say, 80 miles. It would take the people normally 4 to 5 days by walking. They didn't have a car to hop in and drive away. 80 miles to us is nothing. From here, maybe near the Casa Grande. That's nothing. That we can do that within, to some of you, it's a half an hour. But they couldn't do that. It will take them 4 to 5 days. Because the mode of transportation was walking for the majority of people. The location, many commentators said about this location, particular location, the feeding 5,000, was people said is the Golan Height. The Golan Height is about 17 miles from east of the Sea of Galilee. Here's a Capernaum right there. And from here to here, Golan Height is about 17 miles. It's a nice, long slope. It's not heavy mountain. Anyway, that Golan Height is, a lot of people think that that's the location. The celebrating Passover feast to the Palestinian Jews, was was like the 4th of July to American people. But I don't think the Jewish people had hot dogs like we did. They didn't know what they were missing, right? The Passover, huh? Yeah, maybe they had a Hebrew national hot dog then. Passover feast was a rally point for the Jews for the nationalistic zeal. That was a great time for the people. This feeding 5,000 was such a big event. All four Gospels recorded them. And the reason is because they've been following Jesus for several days. Now they're to the point of hungry. And that presents problem to the disciples. You know, people get hungry, they get cranky. I'm the first one to admit that. CJ? I'm not going to talk about you. Listen, great opportunities are often disguised as unsolvable problems for our spiritual training purpose. Sometimes the difficult situation is disguised, but it is for our training. Now, I find the four solutions that was mentioned in this portion of this Scriptures, and we can learn a great deal from here. The first solution that was mentioned was by the disciples in general. Let's go down to verse 5, please. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what we would do. We need to go back to understand what these disciples actually said. Go to Mark chapter 6, please. Mark chapter 6, verse 35. Mark chapter 6, verse 35. When the day was not far spent, that means it's heading for the evening, his disciple came to him and said, "This is a deserted place and already hour is late. Send them away." Did you notice that? "Send them away that they may go into the surrounding countries and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Nice people, really compassionate guys, right? Don't you think? Before we look down this heartless comment by the disciples, we kind of have to think about ourselves. Don't we do the same thing time to time? Don't we kind of brush them off, somebody who is inconvenient to us or gets in our ways? I'm so glad our Lord doesn't do that to us. I can be very annoying to God because I come to Him with the same request over and over, and I whine and mope and gripe and all that stuff, and God, instead of brushing me off like a stepchild, He listened to me. I think we need to do the same thing. Next time, when you feel like you want to brush the person off because that person is inconvenient to you, that person is getting in your way, maybe you should think about this lesson. Go to Matthew chapter 25, please. Verse 40. The king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you do it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." When you extend the compassion to the one of his children, you're doing to him, to Jesus Christ, to God himself. You with me on that? I don't get it. I don't care. You better get it, because that's what the Lord wants. Did you notice that what Jesus was doing in verse 6? He was picking up, was he picking on Philip, this poor Philip, and demeaning him? No. He was concentrating on Philip, so he can generate muscle of the faith that Jesus wanted him to have. Now go down to this verse 7. This time, Philip is a suggesting solution. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. A denarius is approximately about a day wages for the common labor during that time. So 200 denarii would be 200 days wages. It's still not much to cover 5,000 men plus women and children. He is absolutely correct. He cannot cover everybody's food and have enough. With his computer mind, he said, this is not going to work. He already calculated the odds, and he assumed that there's nothing he can do, including even just this miracle work of Jesus. You see, the Philip's balance sheet does not include the infinite wealth and the power of God, who owns everything in the universe, who can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can ask and think. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Get that? Exceedingly abundantly above we can ask or think. Now that we have a third solution that was suggested by Andrew. Move down to the verse 8, please. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, don't you just hate it? When you're a kid brother, it's always somebody else's kid. It's a kid brother. I had my brother who was a genius. He always on the top of the class. I was always on the bottom of the class. So when I was introduced by somebody, this is a so-and-so's kid brother. He's not that smart. Thanks. Verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? He was going well until he came up with his own editorial. You have to give a credit to Andrew, don't you think? He was able to con the kid to give up his lunch. That takes a lot. You know, but Andrew came up with the same song, second lyrics, as Philip. By the way, some liberal might say, well, you know, barley loaf and the fish was a healthy food, and it's a great expensive food. I don't think so. According to the historian, the barley loaves, barley bread, during that time is a poor people's food. And the small fish, mentioned 2 fish, is more like a pickled sardine. It was not salmon, it was not some trout. And some of you are thinking, trout? All of a sudden you're awake now. Speaking of seafood, I'm one of those people who dare to try something new. Sometimes it causes a problem to you, but I tried. I tried the caviar in the fancy restaurant where the company I used to work for paid for all that expense. So since it's free, I tried this. I took a spoonful of caviar, I put it in my mouth. And I was holding that thing. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And I spit it out and put it back in the bowl. And I sure didn't want to swallow that thing because I just felt like the leak of the bottom of the fish pond. It was salty, but I have to admit, I just don't have a class or a taste for it. If you have a class and you like caviar more, power to you, go for it. Oh, no, thank you. I don't try that anymore. Andrew, huh? Do you really want to know? I spit in somebody else's food. Yeah, you had to ask. Andrew probably was holding the kid's lunch, and he counted the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looked around,
all the thousands of people. And he came up with a conclusion. What are they among so many? Do you know? Philip and Andrew both missed out something. What did they miss out? Whom they were with. Whom. That's a capital W. Whom they were with. Just like the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years, day in, day out. For 40 years, God provided them. And whenever they faced difficulty, they threw hands up in the air, they threw the towel in the ring, and they said, we give up. It's impossible. We cannot do this. Instead of looking at the impossibility and looking at the God, well, it's your thing. They forgot whom they were with. In other words, Andrew was looking for the loaves in all the wrong places. Somebody didn't get it. Yeah, break into song, buddy. While Philip was burning his pocket calculator battery by punching the numbers busily, while Andrew was thinking about how can we do this, they were not thinking about Jesus Christ. The disciples of Jesus heard the claim of Jesus, and he said, "Is the Son of God?" They knew what that meant. Religious leaders knew what that meant. It didn't dawn to them. It didn't dawn to them until to the death of Jesus Christ. Until they saw him face to face with the resurrected Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we really cannot laugh at the lack of faith of the disciples' heart because they represent us. They represent many of us, if not all of us. We have a tendency to analyze the situation and calculate what God can do according to our limited capability and assume that he cannot do more than what we can think he is able. Am I making sense to you? We somehow put the God in our limited imagination, thinking capability. This is what God can do, and guess what? He cannot do it. Really? Says who? Not my Bible. Do you see the limit we're putting on him? Listen, God is faithful to keep his promises. When he says, he means what he says, he means it. Can you put that in your heart? What he says, he means it, and he means what he says. When Jesus say, I will meet all you need, he will. When Jesus said, I will guide you through the darkness, he will. When Jesus says, I will carry your burden on my shoulder, he will. And when Jesus says, I will give you peace in your heart that passes all understanding and that will guard your heart. As long as you trust me, he will. You with me? You get that? Listen, whether that impossibility is financial situation, or it could be health, or it could be that wonderful family problem that you might face, your in-laws or your kids, or it could be your job situation nowadays. The Lord is with you and nothing is impossible to him. You cannot find a better person to depend on. Now, we have the final solution that is brought by Jesus Christ. Go to the verse 10, please, in chapter 6. Then Jesus said, Make the people sit down. There was much grass in the place. So men sat down in numbers about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. And the disciples to those sitting down. and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. Did you note that? It was not, here's a fish head, here's a fish tail, just lick one and give it to somebody so they can lick. No, it's not. It was as much as they wanted, until pretty much they gorged themselves. The Lord took the little boy's lunch and blessed it and broke it and handed it out to the disciples. You know, the miracle did not happen in the hands of disciples, but it had, when he blessed it, it started to multiply. The five loaves of bread and two fish, and he started to break them, and he's breaking and breaking and breaking, and probably disciples standing there, their jaw is probably dropping by now to the grass, and how can he break continuously? Didn't he run out of those two fish and the five loaves of bread? He's continuously breaking and putting in the basket. The more, and as, notice, as they hand them out, it's continuing. You see, that he multiplied the food. They only had a joyful privilege of being, passing it out as a channel of his blessing. You know, Jesus could say, well, all right, people, come forward. I will give you the food by himself. Or he could have called angels, bring down In-N-Out cheeseburgers and fries, call to everyone instantly. That can be done. And people will say, what is this? I don't know. They said cheeseburger. What's a cheeseburger? You know, folks, nothing is impossible with God. But he chose to use his disciples to distribute the food. Can you imagine? Put yourself in one of the disciples' sandals. You being a disciple. You handing out the fish and loaves. And you thought, basket by now it should be empty because I just distributed about 500 of them. And there is more, so I need more. Guess what? The more you give out, the more you get excited, the more you have in the basket. I need to find the two, I find the two principles here. Number one, our God choose to use us as a channel of his blessing to bless others. Did you get that? He chooses to use us to bless others, and we become his channel of blessing. What a joy beyond description to serve our Lord God and his people. We get to be his representative to bless others. You really don't understand what it's like until you start to serve others and the Lord. Can I hear amen for that one?
Amen.
Okay. Second principle is the more you give and the more you serve others, the more blessing you get from the Lord and receive a fulfillment of your life. Do you want to know the purpose of your life? Serving God, loving God, and serving others. That's what it's all about. There are many, listen, this very important. There are many, many selfish Christians who absolutely do nothing for the Lord and his people and the church. They go to church, sit and listen, get fed from the word, and they get up and leave the church building and expecting that somebody else to serve them and expecting somebody else to do everything for them. They have a mentality of slave master rather than servant King Jesus Christ. By now, some of you are thinking, did you just call me selfish? Yes, I did. And I do not apologize. I have no intention to apologize. I'm not saying that to make you feel bad. Listen, I'm not saying that to make you feel bad because we are doing just fine. I'm not saying that I can get your help, but I want you to be blessed beyond measure. The more you serve, the more you will be blessed. You understand me? If this is the first time coming to church, I don't expect you to serve. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to serve for about 3 to 6 months. I want you to get to know us, and we get to know you. When the Lord leads you to serve, then you start to serve. But if you've been coming here for some time and you've been doing nothing, guess what? You've been robbing yourself from the blessing that God has stored for you. You with me on that? By the way, I want all of you to notice what Jesus did in verse 10. I'm sorry, verse 11. Jesus took the loaf and he had given thanks. Did you notice that? And then some people ask me, Pastor, do I need to pray before meal in the restaurant? So I stick them and I slap them silly. No, I did not. I was thinking. You know, what is there to be ashamed about praying to God and thanking God for the food in public place? Was he ashamed of you? No, he did not shame. He was not ashamed of you. Some people would not pray. Say, thank God. And then start to eat. Some people forget the praying. Just chow down. No. You give thanks to God first for the provision. Whether that food is from school cafeteria or hospital or airline food, no matter what kind of food that is, you give thanks to Him because He provided for you. Verse 12. So when they were filled, He said to His disciples, gather up the fragment that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up and fill the 12 baskets of the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, and which were left over by those who had eaten. 12 baskets for 12 disciples. What a great visual reminder. God is faithful. There's no such a word impossible in God's vocabulary. They are serving the God who owns everything in the universe. He can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can ask or think. However, did you notice what Jesus told them to do? Jesus is generous but not wasteful. Jesus is generous but not wasteful. I have 4 applications for you to walk out. Number 1, let's not forget that God's power is unlimited. God's power is unlimited. Second application, let's not forget that God's promise is unconditional. God's promise is unconditional. Number 3, let's not forget that God's compassion is uncompromising. What do I mean? He doesn't look at the individual spiritual status and say, okay, I like you, Yolanda. No, I don't like you, Ernie. He doesn't treat Ernie less than Yolanda. He treats everybody equal. Remember what they said, at the foot of the cross is a level ground. Fourthly, let's not forget that God's powerful solution is behind our current seemingly difficult situation. We can think, when we look at the situation, it looks difficult. But in reality, that's a training period. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We are grateful that you are willing to teach us. You are willing to develop our faith muscle, that we may be strong in the faith of Jesus Christ. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.